I wanted to thank everyone that's listening to the Pastor's Study today. It's a blessing to have you listening. We're going to continue our study that we've been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. Last time we were in chapter number 3, and we're looking at the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 1 to 23. And what's being discussed here is God's ministers in God's temple. And we were looking at there, we were talking about God's temple is holy. Amen. God's temple is holy. And this portion that we were looking at was God concerning God's building. Amen. God's building. So we started to look at where in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul told the Corinthians that this building is a temple of God, which is made up of all who were saved. And he said to the Corinthians, "Ye are the temple of God. All of us together are the habitation of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in us." Amen. Now, God's temple is holy. God's temple is holy. Therefore, God will destroy any man who defiles his temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17, the words of God say, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Paul warned the Corinthians about the kind of things that men can do to defile the temple of God in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 through 11, the Word of God says this: "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not luster after evil things as they also lustered, neither be idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, so Paul mentions there things that a person can do to defile their temple. Now, we want to consider some examples of this. We remember, for example, Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 5, we have the account there of Ananias and Sapphira. We read this in Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias, which is Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back a part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Amen. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price of the land?" We pick up in Acts chapter 5 in verse number 4. "While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own? Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God?" So when Ananias and his wife Sapphira went along with, is they had a property that they sold. And they said, and they lied, as not only to Peter, but Satan filled their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, that they gave all that they got for the land and gave it to the apostles. But it's not true. They kept a part back. And Peter said to Ananias, that wasn't the problem, that you kept some of it back. The problem is you lied about it. And what happened? In verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. They took him out and they buried him, and then his wife came in the space of 3 hours, and Peter asked her the same question, did you sell the land for what you've given us? And she said yes. So she went along with the lie, and she herself dropped dead. Amen. So we see their lying here defile their temple. Amen. They were saved people, but because they did this lie, amen, God set them as an example to the rest of the believers there. And then we see the instance then of the young man fornicating with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, which says, and it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So here we have this man within the church of Corinth fornicating with his father's wife. And the church of Corinth, they're puffed up about it. They're not mourning it. They're not taking any action against this individual. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 5, for verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one under Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not known. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So Paul said, you need to deal with this man. You need to discipline him until he gets right. Have nothing to do with him. Don't have any fellowship with him. Amen. And turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, God would take him home early if he didn't get right. And thank God we know later on that he did get right. Amen. And then we have also, so we see this man defiled his temple with committing the fornication. And then notice there were those who were eating and drinking the Lord's Supper unworthily, and they defiled their temple. Notice what Paul had to say. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. So as a result of the Corinthians not discerning the Lord's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, Paul says to them, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And here's the result of them doing that. For this cause many are weak physically, and sickly among you, and many sleep. God even took some home early. Amen. Because they persisted in their sin and didn't confess of it and get right with Almighty God. So we see these things that people can do to defile the temple. Amen. So, if God doesn't destroy them here, amen, for these defiling the temple, he will destroy everything they work for hereafter. He will not let his holy temple be defiled. Amen. Now, God doesn't need help from man's wisdom in the construction of his building. A man who believes that God does is deceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Paul said that a man should forsake his worldly wisdom, which is foolishness with God. Look at in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." So Paul said that man should forsake his old worldly wisdom, which is foolishness with God, and become a fool. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 9 to 13, we read this: "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it; being defamed, we entreat. We are made the filth of the world, and the offscouring of all things unto this day." Amen. God doesn't need man's craftiness. Help from man's wisdom is vain. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again in verse 20. "And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Amen. Man who used their own wisdom instead of God's to build God's temple are simply seeking their own glory. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Amen. So we want to see here, amen, that God does not use man's wisdom to build his temple. Amen. We're to give up all of that. We need spiritual wisdom. We need to become as fools, as Paul said, the filth and the offscouring of the world. That's the way they look on us. But that's the only way that we're going to build God's temple, is with spiritual wisdom that only comes from him. Can you see, can you not see how foolish men are to think that corrupt modern translations and worldly programs are useful in building God's temple? My dear listeners, they are vain, foolish, crafty attempts by men who seek their own glory. Now, Paul concluded this chapter, amen, by telling the Corinthians they have everything in Christ. They have everything in Christ. Amen. Again, we see in verses 20, 1-23, 1 Corinthians 3. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen. So Christ is not divided. Therefore, no one has something better than another based on whom God used to minister to him. We have Christ's eternal life. It is by Christ's death alone that we are saved. You see, the things we have now, like grace and peace and mercy, are ours through Jesus Christ. The things we will have in the future, like our mansion in heaven and our reward, are prepared for us and given to us by Jesus Christ. All of this comes from God, with whom Christ is one. So let us glory in the Lord. Amen. Let us glory in the Lord and not in men. Amen. Now we're going to turn our attention and begin and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 now. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Let's read those two verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So here we have, in the first two verses, it talks about that we are stewards of mysteries. Now, Paul was a minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, there are seven mysteries of God in the New Testament. These mysteries are easy to find by simply cross-referencing the word mystery. Today, what I want to do is we're going to begin to identify each mystery and briefly describe it. So the first one we want to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to see the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. We read this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. So the mystery of godliness is God was manifest in the flesh. It is a mystery that God, who inhabits the entire universe, manifested himself as a baby who was born of a virgin. You see, my dear listener, it is a mystery that Jesus Christ was all man and yet all God at the same time. He performed miracles on the one hand and hungered and thirsted on the other. Now, John chapter 1 and chapter 1 verse 1 and chapter 1 verse 14 establishes the truth of what we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. So let us go to 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 1 of John's Gospel verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And notice The word has a capital W, an uppercase W. That's referring to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. And the Word was God. Amen. Now notice what it says in John chapter 1 in verse 14. In the Word, again, capital W, uppercase W, meaning Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that is the mystery of God, godliness. We can't figure it out, can we? We just believe it by faith because that's what the Word of God says. The mystery of godliness is God was manifest in the flesh as the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on to the second mystery, the mystery of the body of Christ. The mystery of the body of Christ. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5 with me. And Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verses 30 to 32. Thus saith the Lord, for we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great, what? Mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. The mystery of the body of Christ is that when we are saved, we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, first of all. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, when we are saved, we're baptized by the Spirit of God in the one body of Christ and become literal members of his flesh and of his bones. Again, Ephesians chapter 5 with me. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we want to see in Ephesians 5, verse number 30. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30, the words of Almighty God have this to say, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. As a result, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's right. We're on earth, but we're also seated with Christ in heavenly places. How do I know that? Because the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, the reason Paul refers back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, let's read that first. Genesis 2:24 tells us, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then we see he refers back to Genesis 2:24 in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, which says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." The reason Paul refers back to Genesis 2:24 and Ephesians 5:31 is that the first man, Adam, and the last Adam are very similar when it comes to their wives. Who's the last Adam? You probably already know this, amen? But the last Adam is Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 45, "So it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Christ, was made a quickening spirit." So, as Adam's wife came forth from his flesh and bones, amen, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, the Word of God says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So we come, as Adam's wife came forth from his flesh and bones, we come forth from the flesh and bones of Jesus Christ to be married to him. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." And then in Revelation chapter 19, if you would, Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9, Revelation 19, verses 7 and 9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is coming, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So we see then the mystery of the body of Christ. Amen. The mystery of the body of Christ. So far we've looked at two of the seven mysteries today. Amen. There are five to follow. So we've looked at the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And the mystery of the body of Christ, that when we are saved, we are baptized by the Spirit of God and into the body of Christ and become literal members of his flesh and of his bones. Well, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. I really sincerely thank you for joining me today in listening to the Pastor's Study. I'll pray you join me next time as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. May God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.